ESPN Kansas City presents Golf Underground with Kevin Ward and Brian Sullivan.
Here we are.
Fired up, buddy.
You fired up today?
I'm fired up. A lot going on in the game of golf. Well, listen, great guest today.
I mean, we're going to have a tough time at Super Seedings last week. Fabulous interview with Mr. George Brett. That was pretty fun, wasn't it?
Oh, it was amazing. I don't think George is listening today, so you know what? We're going to make this one a lot better.
He's such a, you know, like a jet setter, right? I mean, he comes, he spends time with his buddy Wardo, throws you a bone, right?
Yeah.
But doesn't he realize that you're the one who made him a champion?
Exactly.
Once he realizes that.
Maybe one of these days, but it's going to be a while.
Yeah, but you know what? He's old news, that guy.
He's old news.
Because we got a better guest today. That's why.
Today's guest is fantastic.
Oh, my God. Hey, Wardo, listen, welcome to Golf Underground on ESPN Radio with your boys Sully and Wardo. I'm the double-digit handicapper. To my left is a very handsome scratch handicap golfer. He's here to actually make you better. I'm here really for no purpose other than to, well, maybe occasionally make you laugh and help you commiserate. And some fun. That's the goal of the show, buddy. If you're going to talk golf, you got to have fun. That's the way I look at it.
Exactly.
All right. So listen, we got a hell of a program today. You know, we like to start off with the front nine. We got the front nine, the back nine. Of course, the 19th hole, my favorite place.
Absolutely. Right? Many people's favorite place. Also, our guest's favorite place today. Yeah. It'll be on here shortly.
Absolutely. All right. So this front nine is brought to you by Star Companies. Now, this is Kansas City's most well-respected insulation and drywall company. When it comes to experience, nobody is better than my man, Brian Bamesberger at Star. Now,
we love you, Bames.
Before we get into this, let's talk a little bit about what happened this weekend, right? So a little recap. Rosie did it again out there at Torrey Pines, huh?
Yeah, he flushed it the whole way around. Just flat out got it done. I think he won by two, and I think he basically just kind of held off the field. Everybody was kind of playing for second at that point. So our buddy Gary Woodland somehow backdoored a top 10. So, again, continuing to rack up those FedEx Cup points, all hoping to make the President's Cup here at the end of the season.
And, of course, he's the defending champion of the Waste Management Open, which is coming up this week. So he's got to be fired up defending that thing, huh?
He is fired up. He's ready to go, and I think I like his chances this week. So if you're in your pool, you might want to pick him. Hideki's played well out there, too, so you got options there in your survivor pools, gentlemen and ladies.
Yeah, absolutely. And gosh, this is horrible for me because I'm not going out this year, Will.
I know. We're going to miss you, bud, but I'll send you plenty of pictures and videos of the boys. So.
Well, you know, the ones that you, I mean, you can't talk about a lot of them, right? It's this close-knit group of, because there's some things that go out there that are better shared. By yourself, right? So yes. For those of you who haven't been at Phoenix Open, please attend it. And as long as we talk about the fun of Phoenix Open, how can we not talk about our next guest? Let me introduce you to Mike Commodore. Mike Commodore is a former professional ice hockey player. He played with several teams in the NHL. In fact, in 2006, he won the Stanley Cup as part of the Carolina Hurricanes. He was selected to the New Jersey Devils in the second round back in the day in 99. I love this. He was a North Dakota Fighting Sioux. I have a nephew who went there. And all around fun ambassador of the game since he gave up hockey. He's a hell of a golfer, right?
He's a great golfer, plays out at Whisper Rock, and I thought he'd be a great guest to have on, just amazing storyteller. So
yeah, let's bring. Hey, Mike, you there?
Commie? Yeah, I'm here. What's going on, guys?
Hi. Right.
Yes.
If I'm being compared to George Brett on the Kansas City, actually any radio. I'm getting off to a tough start already.
Well, you just played with him a couple days ago, I heard. So I'm sure,
and he waxed me.
Did he? That guy's good.
He's pretty good.
Well,
huh?
I think he rigged it up. I mean, the partners. It was George decided to partner up with Colt Nost, who's on tour, playing against Mike Illig, my Kansas City buddy, and me. I hadn't touched a golf club since September. Like, legitimately, I haven't even looked at my golf clubs because I've been in Canada. And Mike was a little rusty too, and we're getting like three shots from a tour player. Like it was over on 11,
Colt, even earlier. Colt rigs it. He gave me one when I was out there. But you know what? You had a couple practice rounds. Actually, I'm going to call you out because when I was out there, I saw you playing with our good pal Lumpy, and so you got a couple practice rounds in with Mr. Tim Heron. But
yeah, but I mean, if we're talking about practice and golf, I mean, I don't think it can't really be considered a crap practice round if you don't really remember half the holes, is it? I mean, I was out there with a buddy of mine from college, two guys from college, and with Tim Heron. I mean, I don't know if it was a practice round. It was practice for maybe late-night activities. That was all that was.
Yeah. I'll stay in a 900-square-foot apartment. We'll get into that later, but let's dive in. Go ahead, Sully.
Yeah. So, Kami, it's an honor to meet you, buddy. great to meet
Very
you.
Very nice to meet you.
You know, when I saw you were part of Carolina, I had mixed feelings, and this is why. My brother used to work for the Hartford Whalers. Yeah, and of course they left our crappy little town of Hartford, Connecticut, and went down to Carolina, and so. So my days of sucking up to the likes of Gordie Howe long past since they went to Carolina. But you won a Stanley Cup there, didn't you?
Yeah. No, I did. I was very fortunate in my hockey career to get the opportunity. And a lot of guys don't get to go once. And I was able to go to the finals twice, once in 04 with Calgary. And we lost to Tampa Bay. And then the next year was a full lockout year. So I went back down Carolina and Calgary traded we split a farm team back in those days in Lowell, Massachusetts, close to Boston.
Yeah.
Anyways, I ended up, incredibly, I actually had a really good year down there. And the draft right before, to shorten it up, they traded me in the summer. Calgary traded me to Carolina because they had too many defensemen in Calgary. And when I first got traded, I was like, oh, we just went to the final. Calgary, and Calgary's kind of where I'm from, and I was kind of looking forward to the next year, and I didn't know anything about Carolina other than the guys that I played with in the minors that were there the year before in Carolina. So I went down there, and obviously, I think we were picked to finish 29th or something in the league, like awful, but they did some rule changes. They tweaked the rules during the lockout year. They wanted to try and get more scoring, and a big reason why we won is, you know, our management and the team we had together, I think we figured it out quicker than everybody else how to get by with the new rules where there was no hooking and holding. Yeah. The game was a lot more skill.
Yeah.
But yeah, it worked out. Ended up beating my hometown team. I'm from just outside of Edmonton. We played Edmonton in the finals.
Nice.
And that was it. It was good. Yeah. I miss those Hartford jerseys, though.
Oh, they're good. The whale? Huh? Was that the best logo ever?
Oh, best logo ever. Did you see that where the Carolina was wearing them the other day?
No, I missed it. Really?
Oh, yeah, I swear to God, probably like a week to 2 weeks ago, they played a full game in the Hartford Green. It was awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Listen, back in the day, so my brother was a press attendant, and I was a Boston Bruins fan at the time, and so every time Boston came in, of course, this was Ray Bourque days, you know, and I'll never forget this. Yeah. I go down, and I'm trying to get autographs as all the players are coming on the bus, and I know every player on that damn team, and the last two guys out were a guy named Pete Peters and a guy who I thought was named Bruce Crowder, and I go to this guy, hey, Bruce, can I get your autograph? And he says, well, that'd be fine, but do you mind if I sign Ray Bourque? And I about lost my mind. I said, oh, how did I blow this? Right? I went home. I couldn't forgive myself. So many great memories in your great sport. And of course, you can't play it forever, right? And you got to retire, and then you move on to Wardo's game, the game of golf.
So, yes. So Commie, talk a little bit real briefly about what it's like. The Kansas City listeners, we're a little bit more of a casual hockey town. What is it like to be an enforcer and a really darn good one in the NHL? What does that look like? And talk to me about injuries and scars. And I know there's been a few scars post hockey, but
yeah. I think I'm getting beat up more now than when I played. No, it's interesting. I don't know if I would give myself like the tag an enforcer. So to me, anyways, like an enforcer would be a guy, and they don't really have a whole lot of them anymore, where I don't want to say the primary role, but one of the things he's best at and his major job is to go out there and kind of watch the flow of the game. And if things aren't working well for his team, get in a fight with somebody. Yeah. Now, did I do that once in a while? Yes, I did do that. But I was more, if I were being totally honest about my fight, like I played quite a bit too. Anytime, so I think being an enforcer like that, where you have to sit on the bench and then come out and fight somebody, in my opinion, I think, off the top of my head, it's definitely the hardest job in hockey. There's no doubt about it. And I'd have a hard time imagining a harder job.
Yeah.
Most, at the end of the day, really, fighting when you're not mad, fighting period, but fighting when you're not mad and enjoying it, there's a very rare, rare person that enjoys that.
Hmm.
And even with the enforcer guys, a lot of those guys, if they were being honest, they wouldn't love it, but they did it because it was still a good job. Basically to break mine down was whenever I had to fight, just because I had to fight, if somebody came out and picked a fight with me and I wasn't mad, I would say there was about 100% chance I would lose that fight. But when I would fight, I'd be playing and something would happen and I'd be pissed off. I usually had a pretty good chance of at least doing well or winning the fight. But it's definitely an interesting job. It's not for everybody. I know it is casual fan, hockey fans down in Kansas City. I've been there a few times now.
Yeah.
But yeah, the role's kind of gone now. There's maybe a couple left in the NHL now, but it's quickly on its way out.
Well, you know, I was watching an interview that you had done back in Carolina, and something really cool you said. You know, they kind of asked you to go back and give a little history of what you enjoyed. And you said that you played your best hockey when you were having fun. Right, that really stuck with me. That when it was a game to you, it wasn't a job. You were out there, you were freewheeling, but you knew what you were doing, and you were having a blast. As a result, something good happened. Right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, yeah, I mean, there was definitely not every year is a good year. I mean, for very few people. I mean, maybe even George Brett probably had a kind of a down year, maybe sure. once or twice.
Yeah.
Not every year is a great year. But the years where it's going well and you're in a good situation and you like your teammates, and a big part of it as an athlete is I guess I'll just speak for hockey, but a big part of it in hockey is the head coach, the coaches. If the coaches don't like you, you could be the best player in the world. Yeah. But if the coach doesn't like you for whatever reason, it can be a made-up reason, or even if he's in the right, if he doesn't like you and you're not playing much and things aren't going well, it's not much fun. Imagine it's like going to work. You don't like if your boss doesn't like you. It can't be much fun. My best years were when I was with or around the guys that I liked. I was with a coach that I really enjoyed. And I liked most of my coaches. I'm not carving a bunch of coaches here. But, that was when I had fun. I enjoyed going to the rink. I enjoyed hanging out with the guys. And I think when you're happy and when you're liking what's going on, you're going to work harder as you're doing it.
Yep.
And that usually leads to a better year.
So on that topic of fun, now that you're in retirement, you know, we did this with George a little bit, talking about life in quote-unquote retirement. You know, you're very young lad to be retired, but I think golf's a pretty big part of that. So talk us through what you got going on now. What's fun? What are you doing with golf? And what are your hobbies? I think I know several of them, but I'll let you tell the audience.
Yeah, I try and not go out too much on the weekend. But no, you know what? Once I retire, golf came to me. I never played as a kid. Maybe a round of golf. I always played baseball. And once in college, I never really played golf either because golf isn't a cheap game. I didn't have any clubs, and I couldn't. I was painting dorm rooms for $4 an hour. I can't really afford too many tee times. So I never really got out to play until I turned pro. And when you're playing hockey in the off season, you know, you work out in the mornings. And then, so let's say, you know, even if you skate, let's say your full morning is busy. So you start working out at 8 and you're done working out and skating maybe by noon. And you got the rest of the day, and you need to find something to do. And I was never married with any kids or anything like that, so I really didn't have much for responsibilities. So I took up the game of golf, and I really enjoyed it right from the word go. So every summer, I never really played much during the year, but in the summers I would play a lot of golf. And then once I retired, I always, for whatever reason, well, because I love the game, I'm like, you know what, when I'm retired, I'm going to move to Phoenix, and I'm going to play golf, and I'm going to try and get down to a scratch if I can. And then once I do that, then maybe it's time for me to start finding something to do as far as whatever's next with a job. So that's what I did. I came down here I've been retired for almost 5 years now, and I spent the first, I would say, 3.5, pretty much full-time here. I would get out of here in July and August when it's 120, but pretty much full-time here, and I would golf, and it's been enjoyable. Now, what am I doing right now? I actually started a job. I got down to like a 0.1.
It was
my best
where
my
close.
Cap was at. And I'm like, God, I'm like, this last little 1/10 of a stroke is hard to get rid of. So I considered that close enough to scratch for me. And then I started to find something, or looking for things to do. And so these days I actually, well, one thing that isn't good for your golf game for anybody listening out there is don't live in Canada in the winters. You're not going to get better at golf doing that. So that's where I've been pretty much full time since May. So I played a lot of golf in the summers, went overseas, and I always have a couple golf trips, which golf has also been an excellent way moving forward to stay connected with my buddies from hockey. Because otherwise you're just going to fall, you know, you're not going to keep in touch with very many people. So it's been great like that. But yeah, so I'm in Canada now. I'm just down in Phoenix for a couple of weeks. I was just in Nashville, but so I played with George. I played another couple rounds, and it feels like I'm starting over again a little bit, but it'll come.
Yeah. So we want to dive into what those last 2 weeks have looked like. I ran into you a couple weeks ago, and so we'll dive in a little bit more to what those look like, you know, here after the break.
Well, and I'm curious, how do you go from being a casual golfer to becoming a scratch handicap, right? And we talked with George a bit about this, and I think a few things that you brought up that relate to hockey, Kami, is one, when you're having a blast, you're probably playing better golf, right? So you were probably having fun doing it.
For sure.
It's probably when you played your best, right? But you know, I think part of the objective of this program is to say, what are the lessons that you the life lessons? In your case, it's the NHL and discipline and fun. And then, you know, are those skills applicable to the game of golf? What are the habits that maybe you took or created in the NHL that now make you a scratch? Because it ain't easy to get there, my brother, right? I mean, I've been fighting to get, I mean, I got to a seven. I almost gave up work because I thought I was, all right?
I had him
going on tour?
I thought I was on tour.
Kami, I had him in the teaching lab last Friday, gosh, he's got work to do. I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, there's so many moving parts to my swing. My clothes come off when I'm swinging. It's horrible. All right, we're gonna take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Mike Commodore, hell of an NHL career, and some really funny stories. In fact, I want to learn more about the time George Bush joked more about your afro than he did your NHL. So come on back. You're on the Golf Underground on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City 94.5 FM. Get a fixed rate in the low threes, no out-of-pocket closing costs, 100% financing, and no payments for 2 months from A1 Mortgage. Call 816-822-8888.
Kansas City's home for the worldwide leader, ESPN Kansas City, The Dan Le Batard Show, The Jim Rome Show, and Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe. ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM.
According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, texting while driving is on the rise and quickly becoming a leading cause of traffic accidents and fatalities. Please, do your part. Put the phone down when driving. The life you save may be your own, or that of a loved one. Remember, keeping our children safe now can ensure a bright tomorrow. This message brought to you by American Eagle Tax Service at 1940 Southwest Gage Boulevard in Topeka. Proud to participate in this community awareness campaign.
Hi, this is Kevin Ward, co-host of Golf Underground. Swing Fit is a goal-focused program that includes new wave training techniques in order to perform better in the gym and on the golf course. This program was founded on bringing tools that were previously only accessible to our players to the amateur golfer. That said, our mission here at Swing Fit is to get you more biomechanically sound in the gym and on the lesson tee. You'll be exposed to a series of movement patterns, including swing speed, flexibility, and mobility. For those that are looking to buy into the fitness component of golf, as well as hit the ball further, this is the program for you. If you'd like more information about the program, please visit thegolfstable.com.
ETFs seem to be taking over the investment world.
ETFs threaten the establishment.
I think that's part of the beauty of an ETF.
I'm an enthusiast about growing the ETF market, about ETFs being a better way to invest and build portfolios.
Hi, I'm Nate Geraci, host of ETF Prime. Tune in right here every Tuesday at 3 p.m. as we visit with ETF experts from all across the country. We'll help you better understand everything you need to know about exchange-traded funds and the financial markets. Learn more at etfprime.com.
Hey guys, it's Frank Bull. You've heard me talk about the Freedom Loan from A1 Mortgage, and you've heard current Freedom Loan customers explain how they've cut their mortgages in half. Unlike conventional loans that pay mostly interest and little principal, the Freedom Loan works just the opposite. It pays mostly principal, thus cutting out thousands in interest and years of payments. This is why people with a Freedom Loan are able to pay off their homes in less than 10 years. Here's the part that blows everyone away. You don't have to change your spending habits. That's right. Without spending a dollar more than you do now, you can be on your way to paying off your home in half the time and being debt-free. Call A1 Mortgage today and pay no out-of-pocket closing costs and have your loan closed in about a week. A1 Mortgage, 816-822-8888, 816-822-8888, or apply online at myA1Mortgage.com.
A1 Mortgage Group, LLC, a Kansas licensed mortgage company. License number MC00-1649, Missouri license 16-1556, Animal list number 268370. Terms and conditions apply, subject to change without notice.
This is Jason with the Big Biscuit. After 15 years of serving Kansas City with impossibly generous portions and service, we're up to 9 Big Biscuit locations. Our strong values for quality and service give all of our guests the big smile they deserve. We share these values with Walker Towel & Uniform. Walker provides all our locations with their linen needs like aprons, towels, mops, mats, and more. Since 1878, Walker Talon Uniform has been providing custom uniforms, medical and restaurant linens, and other facility services. Go to walkeruniform.com and see how they can help your business today.
In each of the last 4 years, One Clinic has been rated in the top 5 nationwide by Integrity Doctors. One Clinic with an approach focused on chiropractic, acupuncture, and physical rehabilitation. Advanced sports and family chiropractic and acupuncture.
Hi, this is Dr. Brad Woodall. If your New Year's fitness goals have left you in pain, take the first step to recovery and schedule an appointment in Overland Park, Lee Summit, or Belton.
Schedule your appointment today and ask about the $39 new patient offer for 810 listeners. Advanced Sports and Family Chiropractic and Acupuncture.
Welcome back. ESPN Radio, you're listening to your boy Sully and Wardo on the Golf Underground. It's great to have you. Hope you're enjoying the program. We're having a blast with my man Mike Commie Commodore, one of Wardo's good buddies, his golf / drinking buddy from down in Scottsdale. From what he tells me, Commie, is some of the scars on your face look a lot like my golf game. They're damaged. Is that the case?
That is the case, yeah. Most of them I picked up while I was playing hockey, but a couple of these I have picked up. You know, once you retire, I play in these fantasy camps now, or charity tournaments. That's really all I do hockey-wise.
Yeah.
Once I retired, you know, down in Phoenix, I'm not, like, why would I go skate when it's 70 degrees outside and I go golf? Like, I'm not skating. So I put the gear on once in a while now, and it's like, man, I used to be able to move a little bit. I can't really turn anywhere near. And just, if you don't, like anything else, if you don't do it, you get worse at it. But
yep.
The only things I really do play in now are fantasy camps and the charity things, which have actually turned into, I almost lost my eye. Would have been about 4 months ago.
Oh, no.
It was a total accident. Another player on the other team, we were doing an Oilers versus Flames with other people that could play. This was way up north in Slave Lake. I don't think too many people in Kansas City are going to know where that is.
No chance.
Like way north of Montana. And, I got hit with a stick in the eye with like 2 minutes left in the game. I thought my eye was gone. I was like, oh, my God. And I wear a visor, too. It came right underneath. And then another one I got was actually out after the charity event, just getting beat and... I mean, I thought I was going home. I thought people in Edmonton, like, at least maybe kind of liked me once in a while, but it was like my first trip home in a long time. I got jumped by 3 dudes outside a shawarma place.
No way.
So that was another.
Did you hold your own? Did you go ninja on him? What'd you do?
Yeah, well, the first one, the sucker punch the guy got in on me, I did not see that coming, and it opened me up on my chin and dropped me to a knee. But actually, for the last year and a half, kind of since I've been in Calgary, I've been doing some Muay Thai boxing to try and stay in decent shape or okay shape. And so actually, I have to say, it came in pretty handy. I kicked one of them in the chest, and I will say I handled myself fairly well until the police came and tackled me.
Did you spill your drink doing it?
No, I left my drink in the bar. Otherwise, I might be in jail.
Rumor has it that you met a young lady during the fight, and she helped chauffeur you to the hospital, and there might be something there still.
Yes, that's true. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, I am dating these days, which for me is pretty rare. I haven't been much of a dater over the course of my life. And as this was going on, and after I get suckered, and then I kick the guy, and then I hold my own pretty good, and then I get tackled by the cops, and I'm like, my wires are crossed. I am pissed off. as far as I'm concerned, I was just getting, this is at like 10 o'clock at night. I just want to grab a little bite to eat, and I'm going back to the hotel to go to bed. I really was doing that.
Yeah.
And so wires are crossed. I'm bleeding all over my brain. I had a brand new shirt on and everything for this event. I'm covered in blood, and I am livid. And I try and jump around the cops because I want the guy that I kicked in the chest, that now I want to punch him in the face. And some chick yells from behind, like, calm down, calm down. And I'm like, the last thing I need is – some girl coaching from outside the bar yelling at me and telling me what to do right now. So I turn around to like just tell her to beat it or whatever. And she's pretty good looking in my eyes. I'm like, oh.
In your eye. Oh, I'm like, in that one
this
eye.
Girl's pretty, yeah. This girl's pretty hot. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. You know what? I do need to calm down. So she talked to the cops. The cops ended up actually giving us both a ride to the hospital. She signed up because I didn't have an emergent contact in Alberta because I hadn't been to the hospital in Alberta since I was, like, in grade 11. So she signed up for that. She hung out for a little bit, and then I'm like, hey, you know, you can take off. And with our Canadian health care, I didn't really realize that I got there probably at 11:15, 11:30. I needed, like, maybe 5 or 6 stitches on my chin, and I didn't get out of there until 7 in the morning. I was there all night.
Amazing.
And the next couple days later, she messaged me on Instagram, and I wanted to go for a drink, and now we're dating.
Wow.
Amazing. Well, speaking of Instagram, you sure are quite a celebrity on not only Instagram, but Twitter. Tell us a little bit more about these so-called benders that you like to, you've coined the term N1 or hashtag N1. So
he's got the t-shirts
he's
too,
got the
Wardo.
T-shirts.
You showed me the t-shirts of this N1 deal. And what is this?
You think we could get a t-shirt sent down here?
Maybe I want the bloodied one. I want the one that was bloodied from up north. Can I get that one?
Okay, I'll just go to another fantasy camp and wear a t-shirt when I go out, and it'll probably have blood on it at the end of the night.
Perfect.
The N1 stuff just came from, I told a story on a podcast just about being in Russia. I don't want to give people the wrong theme here that I'm, like, going out and getting in fights all the time.
Right,
that's
right.
Really not who I am and what I do.
Sure.
But this did happen in Russia, too. I played my last year pro in Russia, and I got jumped by 2 guys in a 5-star restaurant. Anyway, so I was telling this story on a podcast, and I said, I was in one, and all I meant by that was I was, you know, with my buddies, having a few drinks and having a good time. That is what I was trying to get across. And so the podcast, you know, we laugh a little bit about it, and then I kept kind of hearing, like, I'm more on Twitter. The Instagram account I have now is just for the N1 t-shirts and stuff,
yeah,
pretty much. But so I kept reading it on Twitter, like, people were hashtagging N1 and sending it to me, and guys are drinking, and I'm like, dude, people really like this hashtag. So Sauce Hockey down in Scottsdale messaged me, like, hey, do you want to make a t-shirt? I'm like, yeah, I'm like, sure, I'll make a t-shirt. I mean, I'm not giving you guys any money. They're like, no, we're not looking for that. We just want to use your likeness and make a t-shirt. We'll run everything by you. If you don't like something, we won't do it. I'm like, okay, perfect. We've done it. So I've been doing that now for, I don't know, like a year and a half, maybe 2 years now, and it's actually worked out pretty well.
It's N1, right?
N1.
Hashtag,
yeah,
I-N-1.
I-N, just like spell it out, I-N-O-N-E.
All right, yeah.
N1.
I got it. I want to wear one of those.
You know, these t-shirts are pretty good. I'm a big fan of Club Pro Guy, but these things compete with Club Pro Guy stuff.
Yeah.
Club Pro Guy is great, too. I know exactly who you're talking about there. Those are great t-shirts.
Yeah.
His Twitter account is hilarious.
They've done an amazing job. We might even get Club Pro Guy on this show.
I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know?
You guys should. Kansas City, right? That's what it says on his Twitter account.
He's just right down the road.
Yeah.
He's right down the road. He's probably in his learning center right now working on his stack and jilt or whatever his new swing thought is of the day. But So walk us through. I run into you 2 weeks ago. Let's hear a story about hanging out with Lumpy. I think the golf fans out there know who Lumpy is. Kind of a household name. Funny looking character, great guy. Fill us in when I ran into you down on that range in Scottsdale where you could land a 747 and I could hear Commie's voice from the other side of the range, you know, barking with that Canadian accent.
And for those of you who don't know Lumpy, that's Tim Heron, his buddy. Right? See, listen, you got to talk to the 10 handicappers too here, okay, please?
I met 3 guys down here in Scottsdale and they flew. One of the guys I went to college with at the University of North Dakota and played hockey with. And so in, like, the middle of the summer, he sends me a message. He's like, man, met the best guy ever on the golf course playing this place called Wing Song in Minneapolis. Yeah, he says he's a member of Whisperrock, Tim Heron. I've heard a lot about him, a lot of good things. He loves to have a good time, and he's a nice guy and everything. I'm like, I've never met him, though. Nothing, but I know what you're talking about. So fast forward, my buddy messages, goes, hey, we're coming to Scottsdale. When are you going to be there? I'm like, I'm planning on this time. So they fly in. It's my buddy, his buddy Dave Paradise from St. Cloud State, and Tim Heron. Well, these guys all get in on, this was now 2 Wednesdays ago, they get in time to play a full day of golf. I have a work meeting in the afternoon, so I don't get in from Calgary until like 11 o'clock at night. So I come back to my condo.
Coming in
I'm
hot.
Thinking like, coming in, I didn't have one drink, nothing. These guys were hot. I was ice cold. So I'm coming in, I can hear, like, in my building, I never hear anything. I get off the elevator, which isn't right next door to my place, and I can hear guys just hollering. I'm like, what is going on here? I'm going to be walking into a hornet's nest here. So I kind of knock on the door. I go to use my key to open it. Opens up, Tim Heron. Tim's had a couple of drinks. I could tell right away just from looking at him. So I'm like, these guys are going, hey, we got you a gift. I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm like, first of all, I'm like, I got a 900 square foot, barely two bedroom, two bath condo that like can sleep two guys. I would say maybe one on the couch. Hey, I got a gift for coming back to Scottsdale. My buddy did. Tim, well, it was from all three of them. Well, it's like a blow up mattress. I'm like, dude, I don't want a blow up mattress. I want a couple of you guys to get out of here. But anyway, it worked out good. Tim, within meeting him, if I didn't think Tim was such a good guy, he won't care if I tell this story. Within 5 minutes of meeting him, he puked all over my carpet. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's on tour. This guy is an animal.
This guy's amazing.
He goes, oh, he is a piece of work. So anyways, we get up the next day, and then we played 3 days of golf together, and that was when we ran into you, Wardo. And it was, I mean, these guys were, well, the two guys especially were definitely on vacation, so. It was a little bit of golf and a lot of cocktails for 3 days straight.
Yeah,
for sure.
You just described the perfect Phoenix Open week.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So then you turn it up the following week. We're going to talk more about after we go to break, but we're going to talk a little bit about the fantasy camp and what that entailed and many other commie stories. So
yeah, and then we're going to get to a point where Wardo's we're talking about fantasy. Right, because I've got a lot of fantasies.
Keep those to yourself.
You know, I mean, kind
of.
I mean, like deep fantasies. And again, mine is to get to a 9 handicap. And so, Wardo, you took me into the golf simulator last week, and I believe it was the Midwest Golf Simulator. It's a great local company here.
Yeah,
right?
Dave's done a great job for me.
Unbelievable job. And so that was the beginning of my transformation, right? So if I combine the instruction you give me in one of these simulators, along with Kami's inspiration, I think by next Tuesday I might have an afro, a couple cuts on the lips, right?
A couple missing teeth.
A bloody T-shirt, right? you may transform me, Kami. You're like a motivational golf hockey speaker. This is unbelievable. All right.
So, whatever you need, Sully.
I'll tell you. Hey, we're with Mike Commodore, Kevin Wardo, Sully. And we're enjoying the Golf Underground today. Come on back. You're listening to ESPN Radio.
This is Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM.
Better call Bob, Wizard of Clogs. If you're a homeowner, you may not be experiencing backups right now, but undetected issues in your sewer lines can lead to major breaks in pipes and your wallet. For $99, we'll send out a Bob Hamilton camera inspector to look inside those pesky pipes, and if it backs up again, we'll open it up for free. Wow, how's that for peace of mind?
Bob Hamilton Plumbing, heating and AC. Call 888-4BOB, remember 913.
Better call Bob and give you and your family the gift of warmth this winter and save money. That's right, you'll save money on lower utility bills. Help save the world by using less energy. Just $42 a month, and we'll throw in a Nest Learning Thermostat. Wow, how's that for peace of mind? 888-4-B-O-B. Remember 913.
Bob Hamilton Plumbing, heating and AC. Call 888-4-B-O-B. Remember 913.
Hi, this is Brian Sullivan, co-host of Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City. Hey, when I'm not bringing my fantastic double-digit handicap to the course, my company, Precise Selling, works with companies to create sales champions. Hey, the best golfers get to the top by having a swing process and a game plan from the time they step on the first tee to the time they finish their putt on 18. Now, at Precise Selling, we teach salespeople how to prepare for each sales call. We give them a process to steal customers from their biggest competitor, sell more to current customers, and negotiate like a pro. So come see me at preciseselling.com. to learn how we can help turn your team into a team of top sales performers.
At Central Bank of the Midwest, we are focused on building strong communities across Kansas City. I'm Bill Ferguson, President and CEO. Our strong roots began more than 100 years ago in the heart of the Midwest and continue today across 5 states and 67 communities. Central Bank of the Midwest brings you the best of both worlds, a strong community bank with the resources and technology to deliver a legendary banking experience. Central Bank of the Midwest, strong roots, endless possibilities. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hey, Brian Sullivan here, and I've got a tip for you. You've got to head to Unforked. It's an amazing restaurant. What I like about these guys is they promise to buy and support seasonal, local ingredients first. And I love the fact that they source from smaller, family, GAP-certified, or organic farms, prime-going regions, artists and producers. All I'm getting at is, if you like fresh stuff, Unforked is the place to be. And like they say it, fork or no fork, you can be sure you're getting the highest quality, socially responsible ingredients possible. And not to mention, it's delicious. So whether you're out south or downtown, stop by Unforked for a delicious and healthy meal. Sheridan's Unforked. Honest, clean food.
Start the new year off on the right foot by joining Prairie Life Fitness. Right now, join for just $1. That's right, $1. Prairie Life Fitness is about making your life easier. It's about keeping you and your family fit. It's about free swimming lessons, free childcare, and your kids having fun while you work out. It's all about you and your family. Prairie Life Fitness, with two locations in Johnson County, Olathe at 135th and Black Bob just east of Walmart, and in Overland Park, one block east of 103rd and Metcalf.
All right, so I can imagine this week, Thursday night. Keep that music going. Keep that music going, right? So it's Thursday night. You're at the, what's it, the Princess? Is it the Princess right there?
Might do the Princess. Sure.
All right, and then in the door, Kami walks in. He's got a disco shirt on, the shirt down, right? Unbuttoned.
With that afro.
Right? He's got the fro going on, right? He's bald now, but he brings back the old, gets a little wig going. Can't turn this up. I got, right? And you look across the room, and there's Kami. And he just starts shimmying up to you in those white shoes and that disco shirt. Kami, you see the
white
look?
Shoes.
Right? You got blue, you got the blue steel look, right? You're just staring at it. And then you guys just grab each other and just start getting down on it. Would you do that?
It's probably going to happen. Coming down Thursday, Kami.
Gosh, I'm so mad.
I'm not. On Thursday.
Yeah, I might have to join you walking in, Kami, if you'd have me. We'd look like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, right?
That's I got to go shopping before doing that, because I don't own any white shoes anymore. I got rid of all that stuff.
Right, they're all T-shirts with blood on them now.
You might be able to pass for his son. You're half the size of the guy.
That's right. Hey, welcome back to ESPN Radio. Your boy Sully and my buddy Wardo, the two good golfers. Offers today are Wardo and Mike Commodore, great NHL player and hell of an ambassador for the game of golf. So Kami, we joked a little bit about my fantasy trying to go from a double digit handicapper down to a single handicapper. Now I don't know if you were a double digit handicapper, but you got to a scratch or close to it. Thank God you didn't get to it, because then you said you'd give up the game. So please stay right about a minus one. How did you get there? You couldn't work on everything. What are a couple things, if you look back and say this is what helped me get better? Give me a couple of those things that I might work on.
Yeah, no problem. I think, you know, I'm not Wardo. I'm far from an expert on the golf swing, but I know more than I did. And I think once I got it through my thick head after I retired and I started playing all the time, that I'd be like, you know, I watch a lot of golf on TV and I'm like, oh, okay. And then, you know, I go out and I hit balls and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's like I'm doing something like that. I got to be close or whatever. And you think you know what you're doing, but you don't get any instruction. I think you go get new clubs. That's what I used to do. I'm like, oh, I need new clubs. I didn't hit the ball very well. Well, that's like the dumbest thing ever. When I finally spent a little bit of time and a little bit of money and went and got some kind of instruction, like the first time I saw my swing on video, I was like, oh my, like I know from watching guys on TV, like, oh, that guy's got a nice swing. I couldn't tell you why, but look, hey, I know what a nice swing looks like. I was watching. I was like embarrassed. I'm like, that's what I look like when I hit the golf ball. I was so over the top. Yeah. And basically, I pretty much got down to I don't know. I was probably like a 7 or an 8, just kind of on my own.
Show off.
And then I went. All I was basically relying on was I was relying on my hands. Like I was pretty much all arms. I was over the top. And I would just, if I missed one way, like just, I think hand-eye coordination and just having a little bit of athletic stuff from hockey, I could get by. The golf swing and shooting a hockey puck is different, but the same hand-eye coordination, so I would just kind of get by and make my way around. But then once I finally got some lessons, and then at least you have like an idea, and it's good to check back in with the lessons because you can get off track in a hurry. So get some lessons. I would say one would be that. I always enjoyed it, which was great for my game. It's probably the stuff that I enjoyed the practice on, where I would just, I'd have no problem sitting out there for 2-3 hours, is like chipping and putting. Like I that's kind of, for whatever reason, like I kind of enjoy that, especially the chipping part. So I get away with a lot of terrible shots just by being able to get it up and down or get a bogey and not like an 8.
Which if you're listening to this show, there's probably a really good chance that you spend about 0 hours a week on your short game and your putting. So yep. To those of you that wanting to do what Kami did here.
Yep.
I would say most people just go out to the range and start blasting drivers, no? Yep. I would say something like that, straight to the range and no putting. Well, like you just said, I think the quickest way to probably get your cap down is get your short game better, and you'll see a huge improvement. So So those were the things for me. But now it's kind of like, now that I haven't been here, I need to like reload on that because I haven't played much golf. So I was at Whisper Rock there, and I'm like, man, a couple like awful. And I don't really care how I score. Like, it's, if you don't play enough, then I get that. But you know, I like to at least hit the ball okay and be in the holes. Like, so I need to kind of reload. So I message. I need to get in. You guys were talking about simulators earlier. Like, I've gotten away from it with this work, which, you know, I've kept me pretty busy because I'm doing something that's complete. I work for a telecommunications company. I have zero like experience doing anything like this. So I've been kind of busy with it, but I need to get back in. Like, my golf course at home, they just built a brand new clubhouse and they have some simulators. So after a couple of days at Whisper Rock, I'm like, look, if I'm going to spend some time in Calgary, which is what I'm doing because I'm working, I'm like, I need to put the effort in like once a week to go have somebody take a look at me, even if it's every other week or once a month, somebody look at me, and then hit balls a couple times a week. It doesn't have to be, I don't think, for a long time. I mean, I'm not trying to do this for a living.
Yeah.
I just want to be able to find some compression once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my plan moving forward to get back to where I was.
Well, I'll keep flooding you with all those the stable videos and keep the content
yes.
running to you for the mobility, the stretching, the warm-ups. You know, go back and forth on some instructional stuff. Technology is a beautiful thing.
The videos, oh my gosh!
The videos.
Well, yes,
so,
Kami,
brought that up. I watch all your videos, Porto, and I'm not just kissing your ass. I actually do. I'm not just saying it.
Well, you like I said, you took me into the stable last week, and Kami, to your point, when you're able to see yourself on video, it's unbelievable. And you talked about compression, right? So. And Ward, you tell him what you saw, right? Where were my hands when that club face was hitting the ball?
He was turning a 6-iron into a pitching wedge. A little bit of flip it down down low. But you know what? We've identified the problem. Feel and real are two different things. So now we just got to start chipping away at it, Sully.
Yeah.
I mean.
This goes back to the thing Kami said, practice and stuff.
Practice,
So showing up right at tee time. You know, I got to run to the 19th hole. I got to fill up the cooler. Kami, are you saying I can't fill up the cooler now? I got to come or like, do I come earlier or what do I do?
Well, you know what? Maybe you can, but I will say last week when I was playing with Lumpy and those guys, I tried that where you don't go to the range, you show up barely on time, and you walk out with a couple drinks in your hand and go straight to the first tee.
Sure.
I think I might have finished 11 holes out of the 18, so I don't think that's a good way to get better at golf. I wouldn't recommend that. I think getting there a little earlier and chipping and putting at bare minimum and hit a few is probably a little bit better.
So one thing you and I have talked about, and kind of a good segue into this next portion, is talking about you went over to the Ryder, not the Ryder Cup, the British Open last year, and you've been around great players both at Whisper Rock and all throughout the country, but you got a caddy during a practice round for Ricky Fowler. I mean, I don't know in the history of his career if he's let our good pal Joe Skovern off the bag for a midweek practice round leading into the British. So walk inside what that was like and what your relationship's like with Ricky and kind of what you experienced there.
Yeah. Well, my relationship with Ricky, so I've been very fortunate to play at Whisper Rock where there's a bunch of tour guys. And one of the guys that I met and have ended up being great buddies with him, Wardo, you know him, is Joe Skovern, who's Ricky's caddy. And so that's kind of where the relationship started. Joe and I keep in touch all the time. And anyways, I do these golf trips every summer. I usually do one or two, and every other year we usually pick up a bunch of Swedish guys that are still playing or that we used to play with, and we go do like a golf trip over, and we've done England, Ireland, and Scotland kind of on off years. And so he heard about this trip. He's like, hey, well, he asked. And he's like, where are you guys going? I'm like, we're going to Scotland this year, and then we're going to go play around in Spain at Valderrama. He's like, well, when is it? So I tell him the dates. He's like, well, what are you doing after it? I'm like, well, I'm going to fly home because it's going to be 7 days, and these guys like to press the gas pedal to the floor. I'm like, I'm going to be hurting after this week. And he's like, well, the British Open is next week. You're over there anyways. Why don't you come by? I'm like, oh. I mean, I do enjoy going to golf tournaments. I've always wanted to go to the British Open. I'm like, I am going to be tired, but I'm like, you know what? This is a – and Joe's like, look. He's like, you can be on Ricky's bag for a practice round. I'm like, well, now I can't say no. I'm like, I'm coming.
Yep.
So I'm like, all right, perfect. So I ended up flying back to Scotland from Spain, and then my biggest mistake of the week is I rented a car, and they drive on the other side of the road there. Field on the other side. I'm lucky I made it to the golf course. I barely made it out of the airport. That's a story for a whole other time, but I made it in one piece. I didn't bang the car up too bad. But anyways, it was great. I ended up staying with, so the caddies, one thing I didn't know is I just figured that, like, the caddy and the player would always stay together. But for the most part, the caddies usually stay with each other on the road, and the players stay with each other too. So I was with Joe. So I was on the couch for the week with him and three of his boys that are caddies there. And the experience was awesome. I was like, I played golf once before with Ricky, and Joe hooked it up with Mike Illig. Joe and Ricky played me and Mike. Me and Mike actually won, too. We were obviously getting like 12 shots each, but...
Doesn't matter. Win's a win.
Yeah. Nice.
The win's a win, yeah. But yeah, it was fun. It was awesome. I don't know. The people that watched it there was like, there's a drought in Scotland, so the fairways were like concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And the fairways were faster than the greens is really a good way to put it. And it was fun. It was, the weather was pretty good, like a little bit of wind sometimes, but for over there, it was beautiful. So, yeah, it was cool. It was awesome just kind of being able to be right there inside the ropes when Ricky's hitting the ball. And
yeah.
I'd never been to a practice round before where they're dropping balls and trying different things. And Ricky's a great dude. So, you know, at first I just kind of like stayed out of the way. And, yeah. You know, there'd be a couple other golfers. I'm like, just don't get in the way and look like an idiot.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people at the golf course watching.
Yeah.
But then Ricky and I started talking, and I started talking to other guys he was golfing with. And to Ricky, I would, you know, because he'd drop balls and he'd try hitting different shots and flighting the golf ball. And I'm like, yeah, if somebody thinks they're good at golf, come play with this guy.
Really?
Three holes.
Go play
just
with.
Just watch them. Like, with, go ahead.
Go play with any of those guys out there. I mean,
any of them. Yeah. Yeah. Any of them. Gary
Does it
Woodward,
feel that different?
Well, what's your it? Boy. He's awesome.
Well, what's it? I want to ask both of you this, right? Because you got a chance to see shot after shot. And of course, we've all been to tour events, but there's something different about carrying the bag. The difference between a Ricky Fowler and your standard plus three at a club. I mean, is it that obvious? When you're carrying that thing all day,
it's pretty obvious. I mean, they literally have so much command of the golf ball,
really,
and it's just
yeah.
I mean, they're shooting 24 under week in week out at tough hard golf courses.
Isn't that amazing?
It's
yeah,
amazing.
Like Wardo, you know, obviously knows way more about golf than I do, but just from what I picked up was, I think you just kind of touched on Wardo is. Like, there's a lot of great players at Whisper Rock that aren't on tour, like, really good. And they'll go out to Whisper Rock, and they'll go fire a 62, and, you know, they're excellent golfers. Yeah. These guys are great. I am not carving. I would consider maybe doing something incredibly stupid just to have their golf game.
Yeah.
But, like you just said, like, does their game travel? And that's one thing where I just don't think it does, unless you're one of those guys or one of those top-end dudes.
Yeah. Yeah, I experienced it firsthand. When I saw you down there, I was playing with Woodland, Colton Ost, Keith Mitchell, and Ricky Barnes, and I'm pretty sure I just got absolutely drilled. So, again,
I don't believe
it's,
that.
It's midwinter for me, though, so that's my excuse.
That's right.
That's my excuse.
Yep.
You got
the valid excuse, too.
So we got to hear about this Metallica story when we come back.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
We got a short commercial break, and we're going to go to the 19th hole, all right? That's what we call this segment, Kami.
Sponsored by what?
All right.
This is where I excel. You know, you guys, you're all fancy. I probably lost $5 Nassaus to you, but now it's pay-up time. And that's where your voice, Sully. All right. Hey, you're with the Golf Underground, Sully and Wardo on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM.
There are three big reasons to join a fitness center now. To get fit, to stay healthy, and to score big New Year's savings. At the Jewish Community Center, the J, they not only have your best new member offer, they have a full-service fitness center, beautiful pools, indoor track, and more. When you join the J now, you get 2 months for free. Plus, come to the J's open house on Monday, January 28th, and get even more. It's all at the J at thejkc.org and open to everyone at 117th and Knoll. See you and your family at the J.
Are you as tired as I am of the high energy bills? Hi, I'm Toby Tobin, letting you know that high energy bills may be due to bad windows. As much as half of your warm air could be blowing out of leaky, drafty windows, as well as letting cold air in. It's like throwing your hard-earned money out the window. There are lots of window companies, but what none of them have is a Toby Tobin seal of approval, and approval based on who you can trust, a huge factor. I trust Four Seasons and have for years. Four Seasons doesn't just shoot you a one-price-fits-all scheme. They find out what you want and need, then create a custom plan for your home and your budget. In fact, right now, ask for the Toby Tobin special and get 25% off. If you want someone you can trust, see my friends at Four Seasons. Log on to FourSeasonsKC.com or visit their showroom in Lee's Summit and tell them Toby sent you. You can trust Four Seasons, I guarantee.
Attention to detail and the highest quality materials is why so many businesses, schools, and homeowners look to Acme Floor Company to create the finest wood floors in KC, including the beautiful court KU plays on every home game. If you're looking to install, refinish, or touch up your hardwood floors, why not call the best? Give Acme Floor Company a call at 913-888-3200 or go by the Lenexa showroom. Acme Floor Company works with both residential and commercial customers. Four generation family owned and operated.
You know, this takes me back to 1985.
Yes.
Name the band, Wardo.
I forget.
Kami, you know the band?
I'm the worst person ever.
Oh, come on. This is Aha, for crying out loud. Take On Me. Oh, it's kind of like Take On Me is a lot like In One. I mean, they're both catchy, right?
If it's not AC/DC or Metallica, I'm pretty much...
Well, listen, speaking of In One, for those of you who are looking for the best T-shirt you've ever worn, go to, saucehockey.com to buy some of Kami's saucehockey.com. Some funny stuff in there.
And, by the way, is that Bob Ross in one of those?
Oh, don't get him going on that. Don't get him going on that.
That's actually me, but nobody everybody thinks it's Bob Ross.
Hey, you know what? I'm looking at it right here. My favorite one is the male halter top. That's like unbelievable. You know?
There's probably plenty of those available. I'll get them out to you.
I'll get to show my B cups. This is fantastic.
This is fantastic.
All right. Hey, we're Kami. Listen, so, Wardo, you just brought up, I brought up Aha. You brought up Metallica. You got a little Metallica pitch for Kami?
Yeah. Kami, I want to hear the Metallica story. I've heard a lot of yours, but I've never heard the Metallica one. So, speaking famous people and being around some legends.
Yeah. So, this was I would say, won a Stanley Cup, which was awesome. I won a national title, which was great. I won a world championship for Team Canada, which was awesome too. But best night of my life was none of those nights. I mean, it was pretty close, but and I was just down in Nashville for a fantasy camp just this last weekend, and one of the major reasons why I went is that Metallica was playing on Thursday, then the camp started Friday. So I'm like, perfect, I'm going. So I went to Metallica. Really got after it, and I definitely had a good time. But back in the day in 04, when we were in Calgary, we were going to the finals, and Metallica was playing. So we were about to play in the Western Conference Finals. We were about to play San Jose right after we beat Detroit. So it's in-between series. Metallica's coming to town, and Metallica, it turns out, is their huge San Jose Sharks fan. So regardless, we get tickets for this show, and I'm all fired up. I've never seen Metallica before, but I really enjoy their music. So there's like seven or eight of us that go, and we sit in the stands kind of close to the event level or whatever. And Godsmack plays first, and the lights come on. And at this time in Calgary, like, they hadn't had a winter in Calgary in a long time. Things were going well. It was like the perfect storm. We were like rock stars in that city. And I, with the long hair and a big beard, like, you could pick me out of anywhere. So we're standing there, we're sitting down, and I'm like, God, somebody shut the lights off. I feel like everybody in here is staring at me. So I'm sitting there, and I give a tap on the shoulder, and I turn around, and it's this girl. And she's like, hey, are you Mike? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I'd really like to get your autograph. I'm like, seriously? The concert here? She's like, yeah. I'm like, well, yeah. She's like, well, do you have a Sharpie? I'm like, no, I don't go around carrying Sharpies on me. I'm not Wayne Gretzky. I definitely don't have any. She's like, well, I got this mascara pen or something like that. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, I got nothing to sign for you. She's like, well, would you sign my... I'll call it an upper body signing. I'm like, yeah, for sure. So she sits on my shoulder, flips down kind of into my knees, into my lap, kind of, upper body. I sign. The place goes crazy. I'm like, she gets up. I'm like, thank you. I'm like, I think I am the man. I'm like, I am the man in this city right now. So anyway, finish up the concert. Metallica comes on. It was great. And after we go meet the band, which I'm like, this is insane. Like, I never thought I'd meet these guys. So meet Lars and meet the band. And then they're like, well, what are you guys doing after? I'm like, I wasn't even really talking. I was kind of nervous. But one of the guys
said,
yeah, we're going to, yeah, big time at this place called Cowboys, which if anybody knows about Calgary, the old Cowboys was like the spot to go for a long, long time. So they're like, yeah, well, you guys got space for a few more? I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to end up out with Metallica. I was just going to go to the concert and maybe go home, but not anymore. So anyways, they ended up coming out with us. We were sitting in there. So the place is jammed anyways. And things were going good for you if you were a hockey player in town in Calgary Flame. Then Metallica showed up, and it was the only time in my life where I was like, there. I was for just, one night we were legit rock stars, and they were awesome. Like,
that is
I can't
unbelievable.
Say enough good things about Metallica too. They were like couldn't be nicer, and they were fun to talk to, and really engaging actually because they're like huge Sharks fans, which I didn't know. So
well, listen,
anyway, that's my Metallica.
Hey, one of the reasons we wanted you on the program is your stories are unbelievable. But I think what we're learning is legitimately you've had fun, right?
Yeah.
You've done so many fun, cool things. You'd mentioned golf as one vehicle to meet a whole bunch of new people, but isn't success really a bunch of these great stories, right? And so all I can say is thank you so much for sharing those with us today, Kami. You're the man. And would you make room for me with the white shoes and the disco shirt if I do come out?
100%, no problem. I'll reserve a table at Princess right now.
All right, I'm ready. So, hey, that was Mike Commodore Warrior. You got a good buddy there, my friend.
You know what? He offered to come on the show as a resident guest anytime. So,
By the way,
Commie, favorite golf course in the world?
Oh, favorite golf course.
We always
my
in this.
Favorite one in the golf. Royal Port Rush.
Royal Port Rush. That's good.
Open is this year. Yeah, that's my favorite.
All right. Hey, listen, we hope you had a great time on the Golf Underground. What do you think, Wordo?
Fantastic guest. He's coming back on at some point.
That's right. We got another great one next week, Monday, 3 p.m. Make sure you tune to the 94.5 FM dial, 1510 AM, or stream us on 1510.com. Golf Underground on ESPN Radio.